One of the things that was always troubling to me when I grew up was when my dad would look at me and say, "I'm disappointed in you." You know, that was, well, it wasn't as bad as some of the beatings he gave me, but it was, it really hurt when Dad would say, "You know, Steve, I'm disappointed in you." As I've gotten older, I recognize that everybody's disappointed. We're disappointed in ourselves. We're disappointed in the people around us. We're disappointed in life, and sometimes we're disappointed with God. We have these ideas that if we can just set out with the right perspective and the right plan, things are going to turn out with our anticipated result. And so we go to school, we work hard and get a college degree, and then we find out that the only thing you can do with a philosophy degree is ask if you want fries with that. And so we're disappointed with that expensive education that didn't really give me a great job. For some people, the job itself, they get their dream job and they find out they're disappointed with that because it's not a secure job and they don't get raises on a regular basis and it hurts to go to work. For some people, marriage is a disappointment. We all start off our weddings with the idea that we're going to commit one another to one another with these wedding vows, and then we find out that our spouse doesn't keep their wedding vows or we don't keep our wedding vows. And we're disappointed. We're disappointed in our family. I read an article today about the difference between Canadian Thanksgiving and American Thanksgiving. And there are all these horror stories about American Thanksgivings where people gather together as family and just have family fights because they have altering political philosophies and religious ideas and convictions, and we fight with each other at Thanksgiving. It's why a lot of people really would like to skip over Thanksgiving, because they just don't want to get together with family because they're disappointed. We have this idyllic idea that family is a peaceful, wonderful environment, and what we find out is we've got a strange Uncle Harry. Sometimes we find out we're the strange Uncle Harry, and we're disappointed. They say in Canada they handle Thanksgiving different. They never talk about their differences. They just let them stew in the background. You know, but at their Thanksgiving meals, everything's we're at peace. There's an elephant in the room, but nobody's going to acknowledge it. In America, we acknowledge the elephant and try to shoot it. And we're disappointed because it never works. Maybe you're disappointed with the economy. You thought maybe you would retire at 45, and now it looks like 70 is more realistic. Congratulations to those who have recently announced their retirement. Lee. I figured out, you know, Lee talked to me about he was going to announce his retirement, and I figured it out that I have to work 5 years after I'm dead in order to retire. So we're videotaping my sermons so that you can see those and continue to pay. No. We're disappointed. People have always been disappointed, and one of the things that ultimately comes down to it's one thing to be disappointed in people. We have these high expectations of one another. We have the expectation that just because it's in church, my granddaughter wouldn't walk down the aisle the wrong way. And she's a little young to walk down the aisle the other way. We have these disappointments with people because we have high expectations, but at the end of the day, oftentimes our disappointment boils down to a disappointment with God. That's the way Zechariah and Elizabeth almost certainly felt in the story we read this morning. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter. We're going to begin reading at verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of the incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "And I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service had ended, he went to his home. After these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among people." This is the word of God. Elizabeth and Zechariah, a childless couple in the sunset years of their life. This is not a good scenario in biblical times. You know, we have a social security system where the key to social security remaining solvent is for the young people to have lots of kids. So those of you who have one or two kids, you're not helping the situation. We need to have 5 employed people for each retired person, so you need to have 5 or 10 kids. That's the way Social Security works. Otherwise, good luck collecting Social Security. But you know, the government is good for it, and we'll take care of you as a government. At least that's what they tell us. Now, that's not the way it worked in biblical times. In biblical times, Social Security was to have lots of kids. Your kids would take care of you. I think it's kind of weird that nowadays we've kind of reversed that and the grandparents are taking care of the grandkids. But nevertheless, in biblical times, you had kids so that in your sunset years of life, you knew that someone would take care of you. And society knew that as long as you had children, they had the obligation to take care of you in your sunset years of life. And so by being a childless couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth were placing a burden upon society. They were looked down upon. They were disappointed, and they were disappointments. They wanted a child. Society wanted them to have a child. They didn't. Now the text actually tells us that they were a truly pious couple, wholly devoted to God. The implication is that they were childless not because of sin, but simply because they were childless. And they were childless at that time because it was a part of God's greater plan. There was certainly sorrow and shame. The hope of every Jewish young woman was that she would give birth to the Messiah, and Elizabeth was beyond that hope. This is a couple who lived with the constant disappointment that God had not given them a child. And yet, in the midst of their disappointment with God, they continued to live a life that was righteous and upright and pious. It's not that everything was bad in their lives. It's not that every time they turned around, horrible things happened to them. But this one issue of childlessness left a cloud of disappointment over them throughout their whole life. And on the day that we read of in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah is actually going to experience the high point of his career as a priest. The scripture tells us that he was chosen by lot to enter the temple and burn incense. It's an interesting and significant little notation because the priests were divided into groups, and each group had a certain number of days, and each group of priests would draw lots to see who would go in to burn incense. And once your name was called, your name was taken out of the pot. That is to say, you had one chance in your lifetime to burn incense at the altar. And this was Zechariah's chance. It was the pinnacle of his career. He was able to do that which every priest wanted to do and they looked forward to. And you can almost imagine the priests sitting around as they drew lots to see who would burn incense on this day, all of them wishing that their name would be called because they wanted to do this. So at this climactic point in Zechariah's career, he walks into the temple. Although he has this cloud of disappointment for being childless, he walks into the temple knowing that God had chosen him on this day to burn incense. And what would he would find on this high point of his career is that God would give him an even higher point in life. And all his disappointment would be overpowered by hope. Hope overpowers our disappointments when we realize that God is, God always has been, and He always will be with us. That is the message which comes bursting through from Gabriel standing to the right of the altar. For Gabriel says that essentially God never stops hearing our prayers. He is involved in our life in much more intimate ways than we can imagine. Here is Zechariah and Elizabeth. I can imagine the nights when they cried, it was another time when they figured out she wasn't pregnant, and they just recognized that as each month went on, as each year went on, a little bit more disappointment. A little less hope. And now here's this angel who says, "By the way, I'm Gabriel, and I was standing in the presence of God, and we were talking about you." Isn't that a cool thought? There are angels today standing in the presence of God, conversing with Him about us. Because all of us are important to God. He always is, always has been, and always will be with us. He is more involved in the intimate details of our life than we can ever imagine. A few weeks ago, I was going to make a visit to the hospital, and I actually miscalculated. I forgot that my son had late start on Mondays, so on Sunday night I thought, oh, no problem, I'll drop Matthew off at school at 7:30, I'll get to the hospital by 7:25 to 8. The person wasn't supposed to have surgery and start for surgery until 8, so I had plenty of time. Forgot that he had late start, so I'm a little nervous, and I said, well, tell him, let's go early, and we didn't. And then we got to school a little bit late, and then I went to the hospital, and I had to park about a block away from the hospital. It was a rainy day. I was wearing that boot. I was not happy. And I went to the hospital, and God revealed something to me. that in all the little details of that morning, and the details of the decision not to leave early on Monday morning, the details of my son's decision not to get up and get ready as fast as I wanted him to, the details of the person who kept driving the speed limit in front of me to make it so I couldn't catch up, the detail of when the lights turned red and when they turned green, the details of the people who parked at the hospital to make me have to park a block away were all involved so he could do one thing. Because when I walked into the hospital, had I come 3 minutes earlier or 3 minutes later, I would have missed an appointment that he had for me with the person who didn't know that he wanted to speak to me that morning. God is, always has been, and always will be with you. In whatever disappointments you have in life, God is with you. That is part of the promise and the marvel of Christmas, where God sent His Son, Emmanuel, God with us. So no matter what disappointments you face the disappointment that there's some bozo on the road who happens to have been going slower than you wanted them to go, newsflash, God's there. He is with you. And it is important for us to remember that God is involved and He doesn't forget the longings of your heart. His timing may never be the same as your timing, but God never forgets the longings of your heart. Hope overpowers disappointment. When we realize that God is, always has been, and always will be for us. Not only is He with us, but He is for us. It is interesting to think of Zechariah and Elizabeth beyond childbearing age. I'm pretty sure they'd given up. No reason to try. This is a lost cause. But God never gives up on us. God is interested in making your life glorify Him even when you don't think it can. As I sat with Jerry in the hospital yesterday, actually I stood, she laid. As I was in the hospital with her, we talked about the marvel of modern medicine that can do the types of things that they did. You know, she had 8 hernias. You know, I mean, I know how painful it is to have 1. 8 hernias and all the other things that she had that she fixed, and the doctor said that, you know, he was so close to quitting, but by intervention of a nurse saying, "You can't stop," he went on. And then she talked about a doctor who I happened to meet on a Monday morning. See, that doctor I met that at the hospital when I was late and all those things. That doctor, when I walked into that hospital, called me into a room. It was one of these things, I walked in, I was pretty discouraged and disappointed because everything had gone wrong. And this doctor steps out of a conference room and waves me in. Now, he knew I was a pastor, and my thoughts were not positive thoughts at that moment. I thought, oh no. He's just told somebody they've lost their spouse, and now I'm going to have to pick up the pieces. If he would just do his job right, I wouldn't have to go comfort this woman. I actually had that thought. I'm not proud of it, but I had that thought. So I go over to the conference room, and he looks at the woman and says, "I need to talk to him. Get out of here." Apparently, it had nothing to do with her. So we walked in, and he talked about how a message I'd preached a few months ago had impacted him positively. And turns out that very same doctor, when Jerry had her first surgery, when she was knocking on death's door, walked into the room, and he told her, I walked into the room, I looked at all the charts and the things that were you were connected to, and I said to myself, I refuse to be here when this lady dies. And I turned around and walked out. But she didn't die. And he came back in later and he said, "You lady a miracle of God. Because even when it seems like everything is against us, when nobody will help us, God is, He always has been, and He always will be for us. So whatever your disappointments are, someone hasn't performed up to standards, someone hasn't done what you wanted them to do, what you thought they should have done, remember that God is for you. And if God is for you, then it doesn't matter who is against you. Hope overpowers disappointment when we realize that God is with us and God is for us. But also, when we realize that God is able, He has always been able, and He always will be able to perform miracles. It's so easy for us in our scientific mindset to forget the incredible power of God. It's so easy for us to forget that God still today is able to do things which are beyond explanation. It's so easy for us to think that our cause is a lost cause. Because we look and we say, with man it is impossible. And we forget that the Scripture assures us that all things are possible through Christ. God still performs miracles. They may not be the miracles that we anticipate. They may not be the miracles that we ask for, but He still performs miracles. He performs miracles when someone comes and prays, and there's reconciliation. I remember, I do not believe I have the gift of healing, but I do know that there have been specific times when I have gone and prayed with people before they went into surgery, and the doctors have closed them up and said, the tumor is gone. And the only explanation was, from the secularists, the x-ray must have been wrong. But from those who believe in Jesus Christ, the explanation is God is still today working miracles. Where there is life, there is hope. Where there is faith, there is hope. The story of Zechariah and Elizabeth is this marvelous story of how their hopes, dreams, and aspirations converge together with God's plans in order to create something far beyond what they could have anticipated. The average person who gave birth in the first century did not give birth to someone like John. The average person that gave birth as a young person just simply raised a family. But Zechariah and Elizabeth lived a pious and righteous life, fulfilling all that the commandments required of them, and God ultimately brought together His plans for a guy named John to come and prepare the way for Jesus, utilizing a couple that had given up hope. In the midst of their disappointments, remember, God still has a plan for you. God still has a plan for you. As I talked with Jerry yesterday, one of the things that we talked about was how, through the miracle of a doctor in a hospital and divine intervention, she lives to see another day. And the question arose, what is God's plan next? Part of the reason that we are so disappointed in life is that we have a short vision. What is God going to do in you and through you 6 months, 10 months, a year and a half down the road? Why did I pick 10? 6 months, 12 months, a year and a half down the road. See, God is working miracles in your life today. It may be the miracle of a red light when you are in a hurry, where God is just trying to slow you down so that you can have a divine encounter. In the midst of your disappointment, whatever your disappointments are, God wants to bring your hopes, your dreams, and your aspirations to converge with His plans, because He has incredible plans for us. Plans for a future and a hope. There is hope because God is, always has been, and always will be with you. There is hope because God is, always has been, and always will be for you. There is hope because God is, always has been, and always will be able to work incredible miracles, little miracles, huge miracles, incredible miracles, in order to have all things work together for good, those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Elizabeth and Zechariah, on the greatest day of his priestly career, find out she's going to have a baby and change the world. Whatever your disappointments, hope in God. Let's pray. Father, we ask you today to remind us that you are here, you are for us, and you are able to do things which we can't even imagine to ask. Amen. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you an extra dose of hope in this holiday season. Amen.